March 4th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Numbers, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 3, verse 51. Here is an overview of what we'll find here today in the book of Numbers. Genesis pictures God's people as pilgrims and strangers looking for their inheritance. Exodus and Leviticus depict Israel as a holy nation of priests worshiping the Lord. Well, the book of Numbers emphasizes God's people as warriors, overcoming the enemy and claiming the promised inheritance. They counted the men, 20 years and older, who were able to go to war. They did not ask for volunteers. When you enter the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ, you automatically become one of His soldiers. Every believer is, in some sense, a soldier, either a good one or a bad one. But soldiers nonetheless. The army was organized, each tribe with its leaders and its standard. There was unity in diversity. Perhaps the camp of Israel pictures the church. There are different tribes, if you will, and standards, with their different leaders, but it is one army, following one commander, capital C, commander, and fighting one enemy. As it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Well, as we move into Numbers chapter 3, we'll see that the priests were also part of the battle. For without the blessing of the Lord, there could be no victory. Some of God's people are in the front lines of the battle, while others are behind the lines, interceding to the Lord. It was important that the tabernacle of the Lord go with the people. So God instructed the priests and Levites exactly how to dismantle it and carry it. Each detail about the Lord's work is significant and must not be left to mere human wisdom. And each person is vital to the work of the Lord, no matter what task God assigns. No task is trivial, not even taking care of the pegs, as we shall see in our reading here today. Some Levites had heavier burdens than others, but God had given them the assignments and He would enable them. The putting up and taking down of the tabernacle were tasks as essential as the offering of the sacrifices or the burning of the incense. Spiritual ministry is no place for idle spectators or careless workers, for it is a matter of life and death. And with that, let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. March 4th, Numbers chapter 2, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 51. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses and Aaron. Each tribe will be assigned its own area in the camp, and the various groups will camp beneath their family banners. The tabernacle will be located at the center of these tribal compounds. The divisions of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun are to camp toward the sunrise on the east side of the tabernacle beneath their family banners. These are the names of the tribes, their leaders, and the number of their available troops. The tribe of Judah, the leader was Nashon, son of Amminadab. Their number, 74,600. The tribe of Issachar, the leader was Nathaniel, son of Zuar. Their number, 54,400. The tribe of Zebulun, the leader was Eliab, son of Helon. Their number, 57,400. So, the total of all the troops on Judah's side of the camp is 186,400. These three tribes are to lead the way whenever the Israelites travel to a new campsite. The divisions of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad are to camp on the south side of the tabernacle beneath their family banners. These are the names of the tribes, their leaders, and the number of their available troops. The tribe of Reuben, the leader, Eleazar, son of Shedeur, number 46,500. The tribe Simeon, the leader, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, number 59,300. The tribe Gad, the leader, Eliasaph, son of Deuel, number 45,650. So the total of all the troops on Reuben's side of the camp is 151,450. These three tribes will be second in line whenever the Israelites travel. Then the Levites will set out from the middle of the camp with the tabernacle. All the tribes are to travel in the same order that they camp, each in position under the appropriate family banner. The divisions of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin are to camp on the west side of the tabernacle, beneath their family banners. These are the names of the tribes, their leaders, and the number of their available troops. The tribe, Ephraim. The leader, Elishama, son of Ammihud. Their number, 40,500. The tribe, Manasseh. The leader, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. The number, 32,200. The tribe of Benjamin. The leader, Abadan, son of Gideoni. The number, 35,400. So the total of all the troops on Ephraim's side of the camp is 108,100, and they will follow the Levites in the line of march. The divisions of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali are to camp on the north side of the tabernacle, beneath their family banners. These are the names of the tribes, their leaders, and the number of their available troops. The tribe, Dan. The leader, Ahiezer, son of Amashadai, number 62,700. The tribe, Asher. The leader, Pagiel, son of Okran. The number, 41,500. The tribe, Naphtali. The leader, Ahira, son of Enan. The number, 53,400. So the total of all the troops on Dan's side of the camp is 157,600. They are to bring up the rear whenever the Israelites move to a new campsite. In summary, the troops of Israel listed by their families totaled 603,550. The Levites were exempted from this census by the Lord's command to Moses. So the people of Israel did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Each clan and family set up camp and marched under their banners exactly as the Lord had instructed them. This is the family line of Aaron and Moses, as it was recorded when the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. Aaron's sons were Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. They were anointed and set apart to minister as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died in the Lord's presence in the wilderness of Sinai, when they burned before the Lord a different kind of fire than he had commanded. Since they had no sons, this left only Eleazar and Ithamar to serve as priests with their father Aaron. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Call forward the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron the priest as his assistants. They will serve Aaron and the whole community, performing their sacred duties in and around the tabernacle. They will also maintain all the furnishings of the sacred tent, serving in the tabernacle on behalf of all the Israelites. Assign the Levites to Aaron and his sons as their assistants. Appoint Aaron and his sons to carry out the duties of the priesthood. Anyone else who comes too near the sanctuary must be executed." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have chosen the Levites from among the Israelites as substitutes for all the firstborn sons of the people of Israel. The Levites are mine, because all the firstborn sons are mine. From the day I killed all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, I set apart for myself all the firstborn in Israel of both men and animals. They are mine. I am the Lord." The Lord spoke again to Moses there in the wilderness of Sinai. He said, "Take a census of the tribe of Levi by its families and clans. Count every male who is 1 month old or older." So Moses counted them, just as the Lord had commanded. Levi had three sons, who were named Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The clans descended from Gershon were named for two of his descendants, Libni and Shimei. The clans descended from Kohath were named for four of his descendants, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The clans descended from Merari were named for two of his descendants, Mahli and Mushi. These were the Levite clans, listed according to their family groups. The descendants of Gershon were composed of the clans descended from Libni and Shimei. There were 7,500 males 1 month old or older among the Gershonite clans. They were assigned the area to the west of the tabernacle for their camp. The leader of the Gershonite clans was Eliasaph, son of Lael. These two clans were responsible to care for the tent of the tabernacle with its layers of coverings, its entry curtains, the curtains of the courtyard that surrounded the tabernacle and altar, the curtain at the courtyard entrance, the cords, and all the equipment related to their use. The descendants of Kohath were composed of the clans descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. There were 8,600 males 1 month old or older among these Kohathite clans. They were responsible for the care of the sanctuary. They were assigned the area south of the tabernacle for their camp. The leader of the Kohathite clans was Elizaphan, son of Uzziel. These four clans were responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the various utensils used in the sanctuary, the inner curtain, and all the equipment related to their use. Eleazar the priest, Aaron's son, was the chief administrator over all the Levites, with special responsibility for the oversight of the sanctuary. The descendants of Merari were composed of the clans descended from Mahlai and Mushai. There were 6,200 males 1 month old or older among these Merarite clans. They were assigned the area north of the tabernacle for their camp. The leader of the Merarite clans was Zuriel, son of Abihail. These two clans were responsible for the care of the frames supporting the tabernacle, the crossbars, the pillars, the bases, and all the equipment related to their use. They were also responsible for the posts of the courtyard and all their bases, pegs, and cords. The area in front of the tabernacle in the east toward the sunrise was reserved for the tents of Moses and of Aaron and his sons, who had the final responsibility for the sanctuary on behalf of the people of Israel. Anyone other than a priest or Levite who came too near the sanctuary was to be executed. So among the Levite clans counted by Moses and Aaron at the Lord's command, there were 22,000 males 1 month old or older. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now count all the firstborn sons in Israel who are 1 month old or older, and register each name. The Levites will be reserved for me as substitutes for the firstborn sons of Israel. I am the Lord. And the Levites' livestock are mine as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the whole nation of Israel." So Moses counted the firstborn sons of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded. The total number of firstborn sons who were 1 month old or older was 22,273. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Take the Levites in place of the firstborn sons of the people of Israel, and take the livestock of the Levites as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the people of Israel. The Levites will be mine. I am the Lord." To redeem the 273 firstborn sons of Israel, who are in excess of the number of Levites, collect 5 pieces of silver for each person, each piece weighing the same as the standard sanctuary shekel. Give the silver to Aaron and his sons as the redemption price for the extra firstborn sons. So Moses collected redemption money for the firstborn sons of Israel, who exceeded the number of Levites. The silver collected on behalf of these firstborn sons of Israel came to about 34 pounds in weight. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons as the Lord had commanded. March 4th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament here on the One Year Bible, our reading today will be from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 27, through chapter 12, verse 17. We'll be reading here today about honesty. We'll see that the leaders had not been honest with John the Baptist, and now they refused to be honest with Jesus. When we obey, God teaches us more. If we disobey, we close the door on God's truth. We'll see in Mark chapter 12 that each family chose its Passover lamb on the 10th day of the month and carefully examined it until the 14th day to be sure it had no defects. During his last week of public ministry, God's Lamb was examined in various ways, and he passed every test. No guile was found in his mouth. In his replies, Jesus revealed to them who he was, yet they would not accept the truth. He is the Son, capital S, the Son sent by the Father, and the stone rejected by the builders. His enemies were so intent on destroying Jesus that they did not realize they were destroying only themselves. All political questions and hypothetical doctrinal questions are chaff compared to the most important question of all, and that is Jesus Christ your Lord, and do you love him? If you were to point out the spiritual people in this chapter, would you indicate the pious scribes or the poor widow? You know, the Lord watches how we give and examines the motives of the heart. He also sees how much we give and measures the proportion, not the portion. An old epitaph reads, "What I gave, I have. What I spent, I had. What I kept, I lost." And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 4th. Mark chapter 11, verse 27 through chapter 12, verse 17. By this time, they, Jesus and his disciples, had arrived in Jerusalem again. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders came up to him. They demanded, "By whose authority did you drive out the merchants from the temple? Who gave you such authority?" "I'll tell you who gave me authority to do these things, if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's baptism come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe him. But do we dare say it was merely human?" For they were afraid that the people would start a riot, since everyone thought that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't answer your question either." Then Jesus began telling them stories. "A man planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At grape picking time, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. The owner then sent another servant, but they beat him over the head and treated him shamefully. The next servant he sent was killed. Others who were sent were either beaten or killed, until there was only one left, his son, whom he loved dearly. The owner finally sent him, thinking, 'Surely they will respect my son.' But the farmers said to one another, 'Here comes the heir to this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves.' So they grabbed him and murdered him and threw his body out of the vineyard. 'What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do?' Jesus asked. 'I'll tell you, he will come and kill them all and lease the vineyard to others. Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see.' The Jewish leaders wanted to arrest him for using this illustration because they realized he was pointing at them. They were the wicked farmers in his story. But they were afraid to touch him because of the crowds. So they left him and went away. The leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to try to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. 'Teacher,' these men said, 'we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You sincerely teach the ways of God. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government or not? Should we pay them or should we not?' Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, Whom are you trying to fool with your trick questions? Show me a Roman coin, and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, Whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, Give to Caesar what belongs to him, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God. This reply completely amazed them. Psalm 47, verses 1 through 9. If you prefer quiet, meditative worship, this psalm will challenge you, for it describes a praise celebration that involves hand clapping, shouting, and loud singing. The cause of this excitement is the greatness of Christ our King. Now, if that doesn't excite you, what will? Hey, get excited about these things. One would be his great victory. See, we do not know what military victory the psalmist was celebrating here. But as believers today, we walk in Christ's spiritual victory. Like Joshua, we submit to our captain and trust him to win the battle. Now that is something to shout about. Something else to get excited about is his great throne. What a picture of the ascension of our Lord, returning to heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. Now Satan may be the god of this age, but Jesus is King of all the earth, and that is something to shout about. And another thing to get excited about is his great reign. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom today, but he still rules in the affairs of men. One day Christ will reign on earth, and his people shall reign with him. And that too is something to shout about. Psalm 47, verses 1 through 9, for the choir director, Psalm of the Descendants of Korah. Come, everyone, and clap your hands for joy. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants, whom he loves. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praise to God. Sing praises. Sing praise to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together. They join us in praising the God of Abraham, for all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The fears of the wicked will all come true. So will the hopes of the godly. Disaster strikes like a cyclone, whirling the wicked away. But the godly have a lasting foundation.